Begin this morning by reading a passage from the writings of Dao Chuo, also known as Doshaku Zenji, which was selected by Shundan Shonin, and is particularly relevant, I feel, to the service that we observe here this morning. 本日は Shundan Shonin が引用される Doshaku Zenji の言葉をいただいてから始まりたいと思います。I invite you to join me in 合唱。合唱をお願いします。I have collected true words to aid others in their practice for attaining birth, in order that the process be made continuous, without end and without interruption, by which those who have been born first guide those who come later, and those who are born later join those who were born before. This is so that the boundless ocean of birth and death can be exhausted.
つらなって途切れることのないようにしたいからのですとナマンダブツナマンダブツナマンダブツナマンダブツナマンダブツ。
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning for our December 初月法要 service.皆さんおはようございます。ようこそ12月の正月法要のお参りでございます。This is a service we hold once a month to remember those loved ones who have passed over to the other shore. And this month we remember those who passed over in the month of December and the holiday season, which surely as we reflect on them,we recall difficult feelings of sadness at this time of year, in the time when our loved ones passed away.
この12月の正月法要は、まあ、12月に往生した方々を偲ぶ法要ですね。
で、この12月の季節、こういう、まあ、新年を迎えて、こういう忙しい時期に浄土の去った方は、多分その時にまたいろいろ思い出があって、悲しい思い出もあると思います。
We often think of this season as a season of giving, of sharing. In Japanese culture, there's the custom of giving osebo.
日本ではおせぼというのがありますね。
I remember the first time when my wife and I, after we began dating, the first opportunity I had to visit her family around this time, the end of this month. And because at the time my nephew, who was living near to my in-laws, was about 3 years old, they thought, well, we should get a Christmas tree because Christmas is fun.Now, they're Buddhist, and so, but they thought, oh, we should have a little Christmas tree for him. So they got a 3 foot tall artificial tree and, you know, had maybe 6 ornaments on it, and they set it up. And so I went into their house, and I'm like, oh, how nice, they have a Christmas tree. And then it was interesting to me because as the end of the year arrives, they live in a very rural and traditional area where it's custom to give osebo, these New Year gifts.And they're a little different from Christmas presents. I think they're better in many ways because they're very practical, utilitarian items. So you get a beautifully wrapped package of laundry detergent or, you know, a beautifully wrapped, nicely boxed package of 24 cans of beer. And so they had all of these, you know, very everyday items, salad dressing and cooking oil andRice and things that they had received from Osebo, kind of completely crowding out the Christmas tree, which they'd set kind of next to the obutsudan. So they begin by setting these things in front of the obutsudan, as is customary in a traditional home when they receive a gift, they put it in the obutsudan. And then it's a traditional Japanese tatami room. And by the time New Year's rolls around, 1/4 of the room is completely covered with, filled with these osebo, different things. And so it was, you know, really, really striking. This, you know, this was much more than any sort of Christmas I'd ever seen in terms of things. And I'm thinking, these are all things that are very useful. What a wonderful custom of giving osebo that they have in their village. And I think in many Japanese families, this custom still exists of giving osebo. I remember my nephew at the time was very much looking forward to getting his otoshidama, his little envelopes of, you know, New Year's gifts. It's usually they would get money. And I remember at that time when he was 3, he had this little Pokemon piggy bank that he just loved. And he loved to hear the sound of the coins shaking. So people, sometimes he would get an osebo from someone he didn't really know that well, and it would maybe have a 500 yen coin or a few 100 yen coins, maybe $5 or $1 worth, and he'd put it in, he'd shake it, and he'd be very excited. And then sometimes he would get an osebo from a close relative or family friend. It might have, you know, the equivalent of $50 or $100 in it. And he would open it up looking for the coins. No coins. He would just pass it off to his parents, kind of disappointed. Now, of course, he understands the way that currency works. But at the time, he was very excited about this, you know, giving and receiving. I think, you know, we all sort of enjoy this season of giving. And as I reflect on this, I'm reminded of one of the very well-known stories of the life lives of the Buddha before he became a Buddha. These are called the Jataka tales, the stories of the Buddha before he became enlightened. And in this particular story, it talks about how in a certain forest, there were living a group of animals. There's a group of animals. And their leader was a very wise rabbit. It's a very wise rabbit. There was an otter. There was a monkey. And there was a, why am I blanking on the third animal, the fourth animal in addition to the rabbit, the jackal. There was a jackal. So there's the monkey, the jackal, and the otter, and they're led by this very wise rabbit. And so as the full moon approaches, the rabbit has a custom of gathering everyone together and talking to them and sharing wise teachings with them. And he reminds them that it's customary on the full moon to practice generosity, just as now in our society, it's customary at the end of the year to practice generosity. In the Japanese Buddhist tradition, we do this as the osebo giving. Of course, in our wider American society, people give Christmas presents. But at this time, it's customary to practice generosity each month at the full moon. And so the rabbit says, okay, if we see a spiritual practice or a wandering religious teacher comes into our forest, let's all prepare to practice generosity, to give a nice gift to this person. And so the rabbit then, having given this sermon, everyone goes home, and the rabbit returns to his rabbit den, and he's thinking, what can I give? What can I give? You know, we would normally give food, but I eat grass. I eat grass. And grass doesn't taste very good. It's kind of bitter. I like it, but not everyone likes it. So what could I give? What could I give? And then he strikes upon the idea, I know, rabbit meat tastes good. I can give my body. Somebody could give my body to be eaten. And at this time, it's said that the great Hindu and Buddhist deity Chakra hears this and says, oh, what wonderful generosity this rabbit has. I should like to test his generosity. And so the next day, as the appointed day of the full moon arrives, he takes the form of a wandering ascetic and enters into the forest. And all the animals are, ooh, they're so excited because they can practice generosity. They have someone to whom they can provide a gift. So the otter runs down to the river where he generally spends his time, and he looks around, and he just happens to come across 7 fish just lying there as if they were asleep. Someone must have forgotten them, or perhaps they jumped out of the water for some reason and got beached there. And so the otter gathers these fish and brings them to the ascetic. And then the jackal goes out searching throughout the forest, and the jackal comes across the remainder of someone's lunch. He finds a pot of yogurt and a grilled lizard there. And he says, "Oh, how fortunate. Someone has just carelessly left these behind. I will bring these to the ascetic." And so he brings this pot of yogurt and this grilled lizard to the ascetic. And then the monkey climbs up a tree and picks ripe mangoes, and brings these ripe mangoes to the ascetic. And the ascetic is thanking each of them as they bring their gift. And the rabbit comes and says, "I'm sorry, I am not able to bring you anything, but I offer you my own body to be a delicious and nourishing meal for you." And the ascetic says, no, I cannot do that. I'm a Brahmin. I observe the practice of not taking life. So I could never, cook you and eat you." But then, of course, in the back of his mind, he says, "I'm here to test his generosity." So he builds a fire. He builds a fire to warm his hands. And lo and behold, the rabbit then sees this fire and becomes filled with delight and runs and hurls his body onto the fire that he would be cooked and serve as a meal for this ascetic. And then it's said that because this was actually a very powerful Buddhist deity, he wasn't able to, it wasn't an actual fire, and when he landed upon it, it was as cool as a snowbank. It was very cool, and he was not burned. And in celebration of the rabbit's generosity, he praises the rabbit and says, "You have such a heart of generosity. You're not attached to anything of your own, not even your own body. And so that everyone will know you and learn from your example, I will put your shape on the moon." And so here we talk about the man in the moon, but in Japan they talk about the rabbit in the moon. And I've prepared some copies, they're in the back, you're welcome to take one on the way out, that shows it's a nice picture of the moon as it's seen in Asia. And then the little outline where you can see the rabbit. And the rabbit is actually, according to Japanese custom, is pounding mochi. And so I thought of this story also came to mind yesterday as we had our annual mochitsuki. And so I was thinking about this rabbit and the rabbit on the moon. This month, I'm told that we'll have a full moon on the 25th of the month. So if you'd like to see the full moon, you have time then to study this and look it up. And it might be cloudy, but if it's clear, you can see the rabbit and the moon. And I'd like to reflect a little on this story and what it means for us this month as we observe our Shotsuki Memorial. Of course, this is a very traditional Buddhist teaching on the practice of dana, or generosity. Of course, it's a practice of being so generous and having no expectation that one will benefit, that one is willing to go so far as to sacrifice one's own body, the thing to which we are most attached to. So this is a story about giving with absolutely no attachment to one's own benefit and one's own the possible benefits or inconvenience of practicing generosity. The same time, when I first heard this story, I thought, "Whoa, that's intense, right? To sacrifice one's own body as generosity." And we're told in the conclusion of this story that rabbit was the Buddha himself. And so when I read this story, I think that is truly exemplary generosity, but something that I'm not capable of myself. That's something that a Buddha could do, but I'm not quite there. I'm not quite at that level. And so I realize I'm not a Buddha yet. I don't have that kind of generosity. And most likely in this lifetime, it's difficult for me to imagine accomplishing that level of generosity. But Shinran Shonin, he tells us that there are two kinds of generosity. There's the generosity that we can aspire to practice in this world, and there's the generosity that becomes completely fulfilled when we realize enlightenment. For us, that enlightenment is realized through birth in the Pure Land. So while we may admire this rabbit and inspire to be like him, we must also search for our path to realize that heart of true generosity. Now, it goes without saying that this is not a story about encouraging people to go throw themselves onto fires. This is expressing something in powerful language that tells us, challenges us to think about what are the things that we treasure the most, that we hold dear, and what is the nature of our attachment to that, and how can we transform that into generosity. It's what this story is about. I think as we remember our loved ones at this time of the year, this time of the month at our Shotsuki Hoyo, we think about their lives and all the things that they have done for us. And we think, that was incredible what they did for me. I don't know if I could do the same for the people in my life. I'm not sure that I'm able to practice the kind of generosity that they practiced. And as we reflect on that, we're reminded of the words of Shinran Shonin, who tells us that generosity is fulfilled through birth in the Pure Land. One of our basic teachings in our tradition is that those loved ones who conclude this life are immediately born in the Pure Land of Amida Buddha, and they become for us Buddhas, and we relate to them now as Buddhas. So as we think about our loved ones and the generosity they've shared with us, we think of them in that same way as we think about the Buddha. I probably can't do that myself. I think about my grandparents, the difficulties they faced, the challenges they overcame in their lives to provide for my mother and my father, my parents, that I may be here today, and I think, I don't know that I have that kind of resolution in life. But I look to them and I think, oh, now for me in my heart, they're Buddhas. They're a perfect example. And the matter is not, can I do that? But what can I do to become like that? And so we look to them. We look to their lives as an example. And for us now, they are Buddhas guiding us. They have shown us the way to realize that perfect life. And so Shinran tells us that those who have gone before, guide those who come later. So we look to them as our guide. And for us, those who will be born later, we join them, confirming that's our direction and looking. How do we continue on that direction? How do we stay on that path? And that's the meaning of our Shotsuki Hoyo memorial that we observe here today, to recognize those who have gone before and to look to them and their lives as our guide, for we will surely also be born with them in this realm of immeasurable peace and bliss. この正月法要の時は、亡くなった方を忍びながら、そういう方の人柄を見て、私がそれはなかなかできないようなことはあると思います。本当に素晴らしい、お布施、人のために、家族のために、ご友人のために、社会のために尽くした人生だったなぁと思いながら、私はなかなかそういうふうにできないなという心があるんですね。同じように仏様の大慈悲は、なかなか私そういうふうに平等にみんなに扱えることはできないんですね。やはり好き嫌いがあったり、やっぱりこういう人を優先して、人を後回しにするというお心は、まあ私、この人間だと、私がいつも気づくことがあるんですけど。ですから、親鸞聖人がおっしゃるのは、この世の中の目指す慈悲と、お浄土に完成する慈悲の違いがあるんです。とおっしゃいますね。で、お浄土に往生したものが、完成した慈悲ができるとおっしゃいますね。ですから、親鸞聖人は、先に生まれるものは、後に生まれるものを導き、先にこの完成した慈悲ができるものは、私たち今から生まれるものを導いている。そして、私たちが、後に生まれるものとしては、もう先に生まれるものを尋ねるということですね。その、よくよくこの人生を振り返ってみて、私たちの方向が その方向でか、ですから、それを確認することですね。今日の正月法要はその確認する機会の一つですね。その向かっている方向を確認して、そのお浄土に往生した方を忍びながら、私も同じようにお浄土に往生する。から、いつか死ぬ人生じゃなくて、必ず生まれていく人生を、生く。というのは、この見教えですね。
So as we gather at the end of this, at this season, at the end of the year, remembering our loved ones who have gone before and reflect on their generosity, this time of giving, let us reflect on our own lives, how we might be guided by them and their example in our way of living.
そしてこの年末に1年間を振り返ってみることが今から始まるんですけど、その忍ぶ方々、先に来た方々のおかげで私たちがここにいることを確認しながら、その私たちのためにしていただいたことを感謝してお念仏を申したいと思います。
Let us conclude with Gassho. Please join me in Gassho. Gassho.
ナモアミダブツ、ナモアミダブツ、ナモアミダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。